Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Amy Spreeman.
And I'm Michelle Leslie. Welcome to all our new listeners and to our regulars. We really appreciate that you take the time to listen and share amidst all the chaos that's going on in the world right now. You know, our podcast isn't all that long. It's usually between 20 and 30 minutes at the most. And we try to pack a lot of helpful scripture related to each topic we cover so that you can wisely discern and walk worthy.
Yes. And in our society and in our media information, which we all consume, you know, we're hearing a lot of disturbing news every day. And I think it disturbs us because we're seeing a lot of twisting of what is true and what isn't. And I think people are really craving truth. Now, the only place you can really get that, and that's by dousing yourself daily in God's word. You know, Jesus said that He is truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And no matter what happens in our near and distant future, even if our normal structures go up in flames and our earthly kingdoms crumble, as it always seems like it is, we belong to Christ and not this world. We have the true hope of the world, and in that I think we can rejoice and share it in a world that's growing increasingly darker.
Yes, that's so true. And our topic tonight is very dark. So as you listen, hang on tightly to that hope in you as we share what the Bible has to say about something you would normally, you know, you would think you normally wouldn't hear about on a Christian program, and that's the topic of sorcery and the occult. Now, why would we want to talk about something that's so wicked and so evil? Well, because A, God's word has a lot to say about it and warns His people to stay away from it, and B, because Christians, or at least those professing to be Christians, are unfortunately dabbling in it.
Yeah, unfortunately indeed. Either knowingly or ignorantly, there is a lot of sorcery that's crept into the visible church, and we're going to be sharing a lot of scripture and other resources as we tell you how this is happening. So what are we talking about when we say the occult? Well, the term occult comes from the Latin occultus, or hidden. Generally, the word is used of secret or mysterious supernatural powers or magical religious rituals. The word occult is used to describe any attempt to gain supernatural power or knowledge apart from God of the God of the Bible, right? It can refer to witchcraft, Satanism, neo-paganism, or various forms of psychic discernment. And I'm not talking about biblical discernment. So think of astrology, seances, palm reading, tarot cards, on and on and on.
Yeah, there's just so much out there. Yeah. Sorcery or divination is the attempt to predict or control one's future or to gain access to hidden information by looking at various indicators, such as the occult meaning of numbers or the use of particular implements, such as the Ouija board. Examples of sorcery methods can include interpreting the positions of the heavenly bodies, which is astrology as we know it, or the symbols on tarot cards, analyzing dreams for hidden meanings, or the flight of birds or liver markings, casting stones or coins or other objects, interpreting hand markings as in palm reading, and seeking information from dowsing rods or other idols. And, you know, as I read through that list, I'm thinking I've even read about some of the pagans in the Old Testament using some of those forms of divination. I mean, I've read about them looking at, we talked about the liver there. They would look at the liver and they would look at the entrails of animals to somehow determine the future. So this has been going on for thousands of years. And you heard me mention interpreting numbers. Amy and I did an extensive program on how Christians are using the Enneagram numbers in church to divine readings on personality traits and other things. And we'll link that in the show notes. And you'll want to pay close attention to how there's not much difference between the Enneagram and sorcery.
Yeah, not much at all. Sometimes we're even introduced to the occult as young people through things like games, which sound like a fun and exciting way to conjure up spirits. Not really, though, because, you know, I've heard of kids on sleepovers, teaching each other that if you say the words Bloody Mary three times, you can get a scary ghost supposed to join in your little party there. Within the last several years, we've seen a resurgence of Ouija boards. I even saw a pink one a few years ago for girls. Just terrible. You can find these in the toy aisle. There's aura readings, teacup readings, and a host of other things like them. People do seances to get a word from a departed loved one. You've seen it in the movies where they're sitting around in the tables and there's a candle that flickers and there somebody, you know, tries to conjure up the spirit and they hold hands. That's necromancy. That's talking to the dead, and it is strictly prohibited in the Bible.
Yeah, God says this pretty clearly in Deuteronomy 18:10-14. I'm going to read that real quick. Here's what it says. It says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord." And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord God, for these nations which you are about to dispossess listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. So God was driving these pagans out of the land before Israel because they were doing all these occultic things. And we may not, you know, call them a sorcerer or a charmer today, but it's the same thing as a psychic or someone who reads tarot cards or things like that. So we need to be clear on that the same thing is going on today as was going on back then. And so in this passage, the Bible details the occultic practices that are expressly forbidden by God. He banned sorcery then, and he bans it now, whatever we may call it. And not only that, those who practice these sorts of things are an abomination. Detestable is what that means. In the case of the Israelites, all charms for diseases, all amulets or spells to prevent evil, fortune telling or looking into the future, to the future, contacting the dead, any magic arts were considered wicked.
Yeah, you are absolutely right, Michelle. And those warnings really are just as much for us today. But many professing believers seem to have reinterpreted scripture or have forgotten these warnings altogether. Even in large, well-known churches, we've seen, of all things, tarot cards, which you mentioned before, Michelle, that have been simply rebranded. They don't call them tarot cards. What are tarot cards? In case you don't know about those, it's a pack of playing cards made originally back in the 1400s in Italy and France, which are meant to help a psychic divine truth, either about the future or about a present situation. You know, and I remember these because years ago when I was a pagan myself, I had somebody at a party do a tarot reading for me. And it was, you know, I think back on that and just cringe. And I'm so thankful the Lord has forgiven me for that.
Yes, praise God.
So, you know, we mentioned these well-known, you know, churches doing it. What well-known franchise would do such a thing? Well, if you listen to or sing music from Bethel Church in Redding, California, guess what? They do this too. They call their tarot cards destiny reading cards. It's true. We'll link up a story about this. There's many stories about this from their own words. They'll have a leader do an actual reading, which they call Christ alignment. And these cards will, as they say, help empower your destiny about relationships, jobs, and other issues to help people make better decisions in the future. That's what they say. And that's just one example of churches doing these things. There are many more ways the modern church is dipping a toe in or unfortunately even diving into the deep end of these practices.
Yeah, it's really crazy. And we'll mention a few of those in a bit. And we'll link up a lot of examples in today's show notes. But let's talk more about God's word first. We've already covered Deuteronomy 18, so let's go through a few more. From the Old Testament, we have Exodus 22:18, short and sweet. "You shall not permit a sorceress to live." Then there are more words of the law from God in Leviticus 19:26. You must not practice divination or sorcery. And then skip down to verse 31, and it says, you must not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out, or you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And in Leviticus 20, verse 6, whoever turns to mediums or spiritists to prostitute himself with them, I will also set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. From Isaiah chapter 8, in verses 18 and 19, we read this, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and portents in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. And when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? In 2 Chronicles 33:6, King Manasseh is condemned for his many evil practices, including sorcery. Here's what that verse says. And he burned his sons as an offering in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and used fortune-telling and omens and sorcery, and dealt with mediums and necromancers. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. In Malachi 3:5, the word says this, then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. And those are just a few from the Old Testament.
Oh, thanks for reading all those, Michelle. And ladies, just in case you think that this is just for the children of Israel, we want to tell you that this very same God, because he does not change, also prohibits sorcery and the occult in the New Testament. Same God. Doesn't change. And there are so many verses, Michelle. I'm just going to mention a few. From Acts chapter 8, we read about Simon the sorcerer. Starting in verse 9, it says, now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all of the people of Samaria. And it goes on to say that Simon was baptized when Philip came to town and started preaching. And so Simon followed Philip everywhere, astonished by all the great signs and miracles he saw. And then the apostles Peter and John arrived in town, laid hands on the people, and they received the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pick it up in verse 18. It says, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. All right, so also go check out Galatians chapter 5, where Paul lists sorcery in the acts of the flesh, starting in verse 20. He writes in this long list, sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy and rage, rivalries, divisions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in the end of days, people will be practicing sorcery. Revelation 18:23 says those who are around to see this will experience sort of a spiritual Babylon representing the false religious system in those last days that will deceive all nations with sorcery before judgment falls. So in chapter 21, the Bible says that sorcerers will be, quote, in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Again, these are just a few of the verses, many, many verses on sorcery. And you might be asking, why in the world do we need to talk about this? Well, again, it's because many professing Christians are doing these things, thinking that they are partaking in something that's really normal, orthodox Christianity. And I know some who do. And I will say that 20 years ago, I had no idea that these things were just an abomination to God. No clue.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. And, you know, like you were saying, people might be asking why we're talking about this. Well, you may not be seeing it in your church, but it may be on its way to your church or to a church near you or to a friend or a loved one near you. So it's good to, even if you're not seeing this right now, it's good to be aware of it because it may be on its way, and then you'll be prepared to help a church or a friend or whoever to deal with it and to respond to it in a biblical way. And many of the people that are, you know, already into these kind of things, they're not trying to be disobedient, and they may not have any evil intentions at all. They just simply love Jesus and they want to experience him. And the desire to have a supernatural experience in the spirit realm is really strong. I mean, we all want to experience the love and power of our God Almighty. But the truth is, God does not want us practicing unbiblical methods in order to come to him. And that's why, you know, some people may get into things like this, is because maybe they just don't know their Bibles and they don't know what an unbiblical method is or what the biblical method of coming to him is. I mean, consider the fascination that a lot of people have with the angelic realm, praying or talking to angels, doing battle with demons in the name of spiritual warfare, and those kinds of things are very concerning, and they're even being taught by some major denominations and non-denominations. But Christians really need to hear what the Bible has to say about these things more than ever. Because you know where a lot of that kind of thing comes from with angels and whatnot? It comes from the New Age movement. And Amy, I've learned a little bit about this from our friend Doreen Virtue, because before she got saved, Doreen used to be a big time celebrity in the New Age movement. And one of the things she was into was angelology. And she even designed and sold her own angel cards, which I guess was a little like tarot cards. But, you know, no matter whether we're talking New Age angels or even those cute little cherubs on a Valentine, none of that kind of thing is biblical.
No, not at all. And I'm so thankful for Doreen and her witness and her testimony. You know, contrary to popular belief, angels aren't these chubby little babies with rosy cheeks, and they're not these beautiful young women with long flowing gowns and gossamer wings that you see so often. And I see people sharing, you know, memes of these pretty little angels, you know, on Facebook and other social media. You know, the Bible reveals very little about real angels, but we do know that God sent his angels to do his bidding, right? So, they always pointed people to him. The angels we hear about today are often giving people new doctrines or extra biblical special revelation, and sometimes point people to religions such as Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and the New Age. Ladies, those aren't angels. Angels are real beings, and a well-meaning Christian might think it's okay to make contact with angels because, you know, after all, they say, you know, they're the good guys, right? Well, yes, they are good, but no, we are not to pray to them, nor do we conjure them up for our comfort and blessings.
That's right. And we're not to, you know, call our guardian angel or whatever, or try to contact angels by constructing an altar, lighting candles, burning incense, meditating, or any other way you can think of. Remember, God forbids his people from contacting the spirit realm. And besides, regenerate Christians have direct access to God through the Son, Jesus Christ. So, I mean, why would you want to settle for anything less, even, you know, even if you didn't know any better? Why would we call on angels or anybody else when we can go directly to God through Christ? Remember, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in a person at the moment of regeneration. And once the Spirit takes up residence in a believer, he never leaves us nor forsakes us.
Amen.
And that's the hope that we have and that we should cling to every day. Remember that we have a lot of research and articles in our show notes, so be sure to check those out. And don't just take anything we've said here as truth. Learn to discern for yourself and read God's Word. And that's how we are going to conclude this episode of A Word Fitly Spoken.
Yeah, head on over to our website, awordfitlyspoken.life. Please do support us by praying for us and perhaps even helping us, you know, defray the cost of web servers and podcast hosting fees by donating through PayPal or Patreon if you are so inclined. And thanks to those of you who have done that. And if this episode has been helpful to you, be sure to share it with your friends and loved ones who might need to hear some truth today. And until next time, be in God's Word daily, stay in the light and avoid the shadowy places, and walk worthy.